This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hello, 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 and wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. As always, I'm super excited about the guest that I'm going to have on today, Veronica. Okay, she's going to have to help me out when she comes on. So, Veronica Tugaleva, I hope I get that right, is an author, a coach, and what she says is a reformed cynic. She has an awesome book out called The Love Mindset, and she's recently started a whole new site to share inspirational work of various people from around the world called The Real Us, showing each other what's possible one story at a time. We all have a story, and sometimes our stories are deeply profound, and sometimes they're just a story. And the beauty of life is that we always have the opportunity to write a new ending to that story. And that's exactly what Veronica did. And I'm going to let her share more of her story. So welcome to Soulful Living, Veronica.
Hi, Terry. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I'm so super excited. We've been talking about having you here for the last few months, and I'm glad the time arrived. So tell me, first of all, did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Yeah, you did a great job. That was good.
Yay! Yay! You know, it's always a challenge to try and get it right, so I'm really glad that I did. And let's jump right in. Let's talk about your being a reformed cynic. What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, I think a cynic is just somebody who only believes what they see, and through the process of that ends up seeing things only by this kind of textbook way and ends up missing a lot of what's actually there. And I heard this quote once that said that cynics are just failed idealists.
Oh, wow.
What that was about, I just saw the world in this extremely flat way. I didn't believe in love for a long time. I used to say, it kind of rhymed, so it had a kind of a ring to it, but I used to say that love was a cheap excuse for dependence and abuse. And that was how I felt about that. So I closed myself off to, as you can imagine, many opportunities. And even in my friendships, you know, there's just no, I was just very wary of how what I gave would have to would progress in the future, you know, or how what I got would lead to what I would have to give. So I would constantly just try to give as little as possible and receive as little as possible from people so that I was not in any way indebted or in any way, it wouldn't be possible for me to get into codependent relationships with them or get too close to them, you know, just always an arm's distance away. And I didn't really see how that was related to my addiction problems, my self-hating problems, my complete stress that was going on in my mind. I didn't really understand how being a million miles away from people could possibly end me up in a mental health crisis at the age of 23.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we all go through some degree of that, you know, that self-loathing in essence. But was there like a defining moment for you then? You know, you just said that you had this mental health crisis. So was there a defining moment that you can relate to that created a shift for you and brought you to a place of love?
Yeah, you know, there was a moment when I realized that I couldn't live the life I was living anymore. And leading up to that for about 2 months, I had become addicted to the idea of suicide. And I think that that's all that happens to people who are suicidal. They just get addicted to an idea. And the idea is so profoundly addictive because you're in so much pain and you don't know how to take the pain away. And death just seems like a pretty good option. And so I got so addicted to this thought until one day I found myself on my bedroom floor saying, okay, and now I have to change, or I have to die. Like, you know, I have to become a different person, or
right.
I have to kill this person that I am. And I think it was a hard choice. And up until now, I've been saying that I chose to change, you know, but I really think that on some level, I did choose to die. I did kill off that part of myself. You know, that girl that I used to be, I don't really have a lot in common with her anymore. You know, she was quite the extremist, and she was still a beautiful person, but it just wasn't serving me. So
I remember reading in your intro where you were with your parents at the mall, and you were always quite critical of yourself and always longing to be that other person. And one day you were at the mall, and the person that you were longing to be was you when you saw yourself in the mirror. And that was a really hard experience for you to relate to, when you really realized that the person in the mirror that you thought was so beautiful was yourself, and you had a hard time getting over that.
Yeah, and you know, at the time, I think I must have been 13 or 14, and I had huge, like, body image issues, like big problems with eating disorders. I had somehow managed to be an alcoholic by the 10th grade, you know. And I didn't know what to do with it. Honestly, when it happened, and when I almost walked face first into the mirror, looking at myself, feeling that really deep envy that I would feel for the women on, you know, it was Jennifer Aniston for me. She would just make me feel horrible about myself. And just realizing that it was myself, I just couldn't compute it. And, you know, for a little while, it was kind of rolling around in my head, and maybe I didn't have to suffer so much. Maybe I'm really beautiful, but you know, it just faded away. That experience faded away, and I forgot all about it up until, you know, the morning after I had the breakdown and realized that, okay, I got to change my life. And, I like looked at my face in the mirror, and I realized, oh my God, there's nothing about this face that has been making me think these things. It is my thought process that is inherently flawed here, and I can change that. There's nothing about me in particular that is causing me to hate myself and the world quite so much. And, you know, it's been a wild journey, you know, healing those thoughts and letting them come and not believing them all the time. But I think that was the first moment when I could really say, oh my God, my thoughts aren't true. And I think I just spent an entire lifetime believing them. And I wonder sometimes if that's all that, you know, many mental illnesses leave us at, you know, just like an overbelief in what our thoughts tell us, and just having poisonous ones up there all the time.
Well, and not really having the tools to change those thoughts, you know. So let's jump to the book a little bit again. You know, you wrote this book, The Love Mindset, an unconditional guide to healing and happiness. And it's really based upon your own journey. But I think that a lot of times we have these beliefs, and yet we don't know how to change our thoughts. We don't know how to change our thoughts. We don't necessarily have a healthy person or book or idea to connect to, because we've known a certain way for so long. I'm constantly telling, in particularly my daughter, you know, what we focus on multiplies. And so when we are focusing on these presumed negative thoughts, or these really thoughts that are not real, not true, not what we can be, then of course that's going to be our reality. And so you have this beautiful book now that is offering people a realistic view of your life, but also how to move past and change those thoughts that are creating a downward spiral in their life instead of uplifting them. And that's really awesome. So what would you say the first thing is that a person can do to make that change, and maybe not necessarily experience that moment of complete mental breakdown that you experienced?
Sure. And, you know, nobody has to. You're as stubborn as I was, you don't do not have to. You know, I found the first step isn't what you think it is. So the first step to having a healthy mind, right, is just realizing what a healthy mind is. And typically we tend to think the healthy mind equals, you know, healthy thoughts. So the people that have the healthiest minds must just have the healthiest thoughts drifting around in them all the time. And this is sort of this static view of the universe that's much too common in Western culture that doesn't adopt an understanding of change. And we're always changing. And sometimes I feel as if we should have a new vocabulary for the kinds of emotions you experience when you're changing, because there are none. There are no words for what we go through when we're trying to change ourselves. That's a very certain kind of frustration where you want to be something other than you are. And so the first step is realizing that a healthy mind is not a destination. A healthy mind is a journey. It's a journey of continuing to detach from toxic thoughts and continuing to feed yourself healthy thoughts. And if you can just look at yourself like a plant and just imagine that you've been watering yourself with vodka your entire life, starting to water yourself with water is not going to change things overnight. And I think some people tend to get frustrated and they're like, well, it's not working. Reach back for the vodka. Like, no, you know, just keep administering the water. And that's really what I mean by it's a journey, not a destination. You just have to draw satisfaction from knowing that you are doing the best that you can to feed your mind healthy thoughts in that day. And, you know, when I first started doing it, I didn't have my first happy day for you know, months, like the kind of day where I was happy from morning till night. And I didn't realize it was happening until, you know, I was going to bed and I looked back on the day and I said, oh my God, I haven't suffered today. That's amazing. I've never had a day like that. And that, you know, just takes you by surprise. But if I had been waiting for it, you know, it's like waiting for the kettle to boil. You just can't be peaceful. That's really the first step in getting that healthy relationship with your mind, is understanding that in order to change it, it's like a lifetime journey, and a journey that maybe even 6 months from now will be much easier. It'll be much easier to just intake healthy thoughts, naturally think healthy thoughts, look at yourself in the mirror. And I mean, I can't even tell you what a shift has happened from how I used to look at myself in the mirror to how I look at myself now, even compared to 2 months ago. Like, it just gets better every day. And it's this upward rising process, right? This constant change. And the only way to go through that process with any sanity is to commit to the process, not the outcome. So having the healthy mind be the journey that you are on. And, you know, if my book's part of that journey, then my book's part of that journey. If your show is part of that journey, then it's just part of that journey. And that's really, you know, in the Western world, this is something we all have to detach more from, this quick fix thinking, like, okay, if I just read this book, everything will be okay. Or if I just listen to the show, everything will be okay. It's just this cumulative, beautiful process where, you know, you can start, you know, I can help you start. I can help you guide you. I can be part of this amazing journey. But ultimately, you know, we all have to take those steps ourselves. And that's empowering, I think, you know.
Absolutely. And I love the analogy of the plant. You know, as you were talking about that, I had a vision of, you know, literally plucking off the dead leaves and allowing that new growth to come through. And it is a process. And sometimes it feels like moments to moments. You know, people have asked me many times, oh my God, you know, you're the bliss lady. How do you seem so happy? What is it that you do? Do you ever have a down moment? I'm human. I have a lot of down moments. The key there is moments. And I've had my times of, you know, being a hot mess, as my daughter likes to say, in the heap of the, you know, like a heap in the middle of the bathroom floor, tears streaming down my face, wondering how I'm going to get through that next moment. But it is a process and it is a journey. And you do the work. You know, you just keep doing the work and inviting change into your life and allowing different pieces to fall into place to let that period of health and abundance seep through. And it is definitely a journey.
Yeah, I hear you so loud on this, and you know, as my identity, you know, kind of as a leader has evolved over these years, I've realized that that's really what I'm here for. And I mean, if you even go to my website and look through my blog, you'll find that I share so much more than my ego would like me to. I will share about my mistakes, about my failures, about things that have been difficult for me that I found a way to overcome. And I share this with people because I find that too often, especially the people who, you know, are the teachers who are trying to teach people spirituality, there's this sort of playing perfect going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really hard for me when I was trying to change and everybody just seemed so perfect. And I was like, what is wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And now I realize, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. And the urge to sweep some of these struggles that I've gone through under the carpet was so strong because I said, you know, I don't struggle with this anymore. So why do I have to tell anybody about it? And every single time that, you know, I publish something that's just genuinely indicative of how imperfect I really am, and I get these people, you know, emailing me and commenting and, you know, contacting me and saying, oh my God, me too. I can't believe somebody else is going through this. Like, it's so great to know that you're going through this, that it's normal. It's good for all of us. Then I know that it's the right thing to do. You know, that playing perfect isn't, it's just part of this kind of pyramid mentality where people have to be bigger than and better than each other. And I really think we're more of a web. We're meant to be we're not only are interconnected with one another, we're meant to realize how interconnected we are. And I think where it starts is, you know, people like you and me coming out and saying, I was a hot mess on the bathroom floor last night, and
yeah,
that's
right.
Okay. And everything's still okay. And I'm still on the journey of happiness. And so good.
Well, and it is a journey to happiness, but it's also about being happy here and now and being, you know, learning to love yourself, which is a big part of it. I know that that's a big part of your work is learning to love yourself because, you know, if you don't love yourself and work on that relationship with who you are, it's hard to step out in the world to learn to love the people that are with you. And I don't necessarily mean in a romantic relationship, but you know, you had commented earlier about friendships and everything and having that kind of fear attached to it and not really knowing what love was in those friendships. So it touches everything and everybody in your life. So learning to love who you are, faults and all, perceived faults. You know, I believe that we're all perfectly imperfect, but, you know, learning to love yourself first is really a key to finding that success, you know. So you say, like, the love mindset starts at home, you know, like the home, you being your own home.
Mm, it sure does. It does.
I love that.
Yep. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, you find out just how much you project onto the world when you start projecting your own self-love onto other people. And just understanding ourselves is not about finding who we are specifically. And I think this is just a huge part of, you know, the self-esteem movement that's kind of gone crooked, but making a lot of people very confused. They say, love yourself, you know, love your eyebrows or love your hip bones or love the color of your hair. And that's not really who we are. I think who we are, who I am, is the exact same as who you are. And who we are is the most beautiful and the most frightening thing. It's just complete nothingness. Like, it's just this big, interconnected, nothing, big one thing. It's like nothing and everything all at once. It's just pure energy, right? And this is something that, you know, if you go to any single field of study, everybody agrees on this, but there's just no words for it. And, you know, I try to explain it, but it's incredibly difficult to explain the one big thing separate from, you know, the million little things that we find all around us. And when we can start identifying with the one big thing that we're all a part of, you know, as human beings, also as trees, also as the air, also as the earth, also as the universe, we're just part of this one big thing. When that's our identity, when that's who we are, you can't not love that. And you can't not love everything and everybody in addition to yourself. And when we try to just love our eyebrows, you know, we're playing so small, right? But when we love just this eternal life potential within us, this life potential that's within everything else, it's just so big, you know, you could just go to bed wishing you had more time to appreciate it. And of course, we have these minds that, you know, we can lose sight and we can hyper-focus on things, which has helped us make nanotechnology, but which has also helped us hate ourselves, right? So I think the greatest shift that anybody could possibly go through is taking their big, powerful, amazing mind and using it to explore something as simple as, oh my God, I'm alive. That's really amazing. That's really amazing. I love that, you know, just being able
and
to
it
be
is,
here.
You know, and that is the first thing I start my day with. You know, I open my eyes and I'm like, whew, okay, I'm alive. Whatever else happens, I can get through it because I'm alive. You know, and okay. It is an amazing, it made an amazing shift in my life when I started approaching my day like that and ending it that way as well. But it also reminds me of a video I saw recently of the, it was the astronaut's take on what they saw when they flew to the moon and they turned around and they looked at the Earth and they saw this, you know, glowing orb, and then they saw points connected everywhere. And that's what I see. You know, you mentioned we're a web and we are all connected, and it's just energy. And then I say, remove that word just, because it's energy and it's amazing and we are all part of it. It is the essence of who we are. And it's amazing.
And that's the thing, that's really how, you know, having that kind of viewpoint is, I think, so key to moving from destination-based to journey-based thinking. Because really, if you're trying to get something that's not already here, that you think is not already here, then that's just breeding ground for suffering, right? And I think anything that any of us are incredibly motivated for, you know, you look at what people are motivated to be. They're motivated to be powerful. They're motivated to be beautiful. They're motivated to be worthy of love and belonging. And the reason we work so hard for it, it's just like we would work hard to breathe if somebody put us into a vacuum sealed container, you know. We work hard for it because we already are. And that's just, you know, it's sad that our economic system has gotten to a point where people can be born and live until the age of, you know, some of the clients I have are like in their 40s and 50s, and they've never realized that the reason that they're so motivated to buy products to make them beautiful is because they already are beautiful, that you can live an entire lifetime not being exposed to these ideas. I mean, it's devastating, but at the same time, I think with how intelligent we all are, like we can just switch that in a second, you know, understanding that we're a big interconnected web of energy and how amazing it is for us all to be here. I think that shift can be made in a second. And of course, you know, as you say, like we lose our way. We lose our way all the time. You know, I lose my focus. I lose my mindset. I lose my love mindset, you know.
Right.
I think of the love mindset as a compass, you know, as a compass that guides me home, back to myself, back to love.
Your North Star.
Exactly. And you know, I get batted out every single time that I think, oh my God, I've found bliss. I've found happiness. I'm here to day, I get batted out and then I'm lost again. And my job is to take out the compass and find my way back home. And after a while, it's like, you know, all this getting lost is kind of adventurous.
Another part of the journey. And okay, Veronica, we are down to the wire here. We only have like 2 minutes left. And I really want to talk about the real us for a second. So the real us is your latest blog, super amazing. It's The Real Us, showing each other what's possible, one story at a time. And I believe that everybody's story is so important. And tell me about it. Let's give the listeners a brief synopsis of what The Real Us is all about.
It's actually meant to start off from where the love mindset left off, because I leave off the love mindset saying, you know, this is what's possible for us. When we all understand who we are and what we're made of, then we can live through that and we can help each other see what's possible just by being ourselves. And the real us is sort of, you know, it takes that idea and makes it into a reality. by getting people to sort of share their stories of overcoming and healing and courage and authenticity. And when you're reading these stories, I don't think we can help but put ourselves into their shoes and say, oh my God, you know, it's possible for them. That's possible for me. You know, there's stories of people overcoming bipolar, people who are like, divorce is the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, this one lady with a schizophrenic mother who has managed to find the beauty in how much she suffered in her childhood. I've got some stories about addiction on there. You know, it's such a beautiful place. You know, please, everybody, contribute, read. I mean, I love this place. It's just
Well, and it's exciting that it's a new venture. So I'm going to ask you quick, if you could give the listeners one thought to take out into the day to empower them and create a more soulful life, what would that be?
I would say, you know, find out at what level do you believe that you're interconnected to everything? And how can you just experience that for the whole day? You know, just one day. Try to experience that. See what happens. Pretty cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Veronica, so much for being here. It was awesome to have you. Listeners, you can find all of Veronica's information on the Soulful Living page here at Empower Radio. And I thank you all for being here.